Church, if you would like to help me welcome Pastor Charlie as he brings the word. Here you go, Pastor Charlie.
Thank you, Pastor Barry. Doing a great job down here. You and Michelle, doing awesome. Thank you for the invitation to come down and share at C3 Wellard. I'm part of the Frio family, but we're all one family, just in two different locations, aren't we? It's good, isn't it? It's good to see your water baptism last week. You baptized more people than what we did. Serious, you did. Well done. That's awesome. That is really, really good. Okay, so you can see some lovely trees up here. This is not, you know, you're probably sitting there going, oh my goodness, look at their decorations. They need to change that. They need to, you know, water something over here. But no, this is all part of my props this morning. Okay, so I'd like to just give you my introduction. No matter the pain or provision that came down your earthly family tree, you have the opportunity in Christ to flourish under a new family tree, God's family tree. In this family tree, you are inexhaustibly loved, blessed, chosen, accepted, and provided for, exceedingly and abundantly. The miracle abundance of this new family tree enables us to send a blessing we may have never received back to our earthly family tree and future generations. Despite how great our families are and how successful they have been, there is natural curiosity to know where we came from. Hence all these TV programs. We see the rise in the number of TV shows where people are searching for their family roots, along the way discovering their family details. So what they do is they spit in a little, something like this, a bit longer, and they send it away, $79 late, $79 you pay, and it'll come back to you, and you will know a lot about your genetics, about where you've come from. That's amazing, isn't it? We can do DNA testing to discover where our families originated. Spit into a tube, send it away, and find out your genetic origin. Many of us here, like I'm Italian. Some of you here come from other different areas, maybe Malaysia, India, Africa. And I kind of think that, you know, I think I'm 100% Italian. I don't really know. But I bet if I did this and sent it away, I bet I'll find something that's probably quite different. I just saw the other night on televisions, Michael O'Loughlin, who used to play for the Sydney Swans, AFL footballer. You know him very well, I know. He was just saying how he's Aboriginal, right? And he has Irish ancestry, but he's also found out that he has Jewish ancestry. Isn't that amazing? So you just never know. My parents were born in Sicily. And the Greeks went through there, the Arabs went through there. So who knows what I've got in my DNA? Isn't that amazing? But the wonderful thing is that, can we have a picture of the family tree? Can we put that up, please? I'd like to thank Pastor Barry for setting these trees up here for me. Done a great job. Thank you very much. So I'm just wondering, what is your family tree look like? You got your dad, your mum, your nans, your aunties, your uncles. I wonder how far and wide that all spreads. And as you see that, think about your family tree. These props here, that tree there, this tree here, this is your family tree. I want you to think of that as your family tree, okay? It's a pretty good tree. You might think, I had many of us, good parents, loving family, but absolutely not perfect. I know with me, I had my mum, my dad. My dad was very, very hardworking, very strict man, very, very tough, and so on my family tree, I've got some blots. There's some things here that just aren't healthy. And I grew up with some unhealthy thought patterns. Unhealthy. Just not good thinking. Then we have the Calvary tree. That's God's tree. I want you to think about that. But you might have another tree. You might be of another tree, of another sort. We're all from here, but you might think, Charlie, I really don't know anything about my family heritage. I know nothing. I had a young man talk to me about 4 weeks ago. I shared something very similar to this at our Friday lunch. And he said to me after, Charlie, you know, I know which tree I'm from. He goes, that's where I came from, this tree, because I don't even know who my parents are. He said, I was born in South Africa. I got sold for 1,200 rands to a family. Then the family moved here to Australia. He has no idea of his family tree. Maybe you're here today and you have no idea of your family tree. You just don't know. One of the major influences on a family is the father. We have the passive father, where they're not involved, they don't really care, they're lazy, no support, no encouragement. We have the performance-based father. I'll love you if you do really well. If you do this, you do that, yep, I'll love you. There's always strings attached. Your relationship with your father may not have been great. You may have had a great dad who showed love and acceptance but failed in many other areas. May not have been the perfect father. But let me tell you that God is not the reflection of your earthly father. God is not the reflection of your earthly dad. But the perfect of your earthly dad. Two completely different. But not every one of us has experience with their father. We are a product of our family tree. You may not believe it, but we are. But our family genetics and DNA, we can try and change the way we think and do things to try and distance ourselves from negative aspects of our family. We can say we won't end up like that. But let me tell you, I've been married for 34 years, just gone last week, 34 years. And every now and then my wife says, you are just like your father. There are just some things that run in me that my dad has. You just can't get away with it. My brother has this walk. If you see him walk and you see me walk, you go, they are so identical. But all my other brothers and my sister, they have a different walk again. It's just how it is. The power of your DNA will tell you a lot about yourself, about your family tree. But then we have this tree here. This is Calvary's tree. This is an amazing tree. This is an awesome tree. And many of us, the Word of God says that to those that receive Him, to those that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to them, He'll give them the right to become His son. Our Heavenly Father. And we come into this new tree. We don't disown this because that's our heritage. We love that. You know, I love my heritage. That's all good. We have cultural things here that may not be healthy. We have thought patterns and things that we do which are not healthy. But this tree here, as we come under this tree, there is blessing forevermore. There are curses that can be broken under this, with this family tree. And this is called Calvary's tree. You don't have to spit in something to be a part of this tree. Just by the pure, sheer love of Jesus Christ, that He shed His blood for us, that just one drop of His blood By one drop of his blood, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, and we are washed by the blood of Jesus. And we are under, this is our family tree. This is our new family tree. That is our heritage, but this is our new family tree. Many of us don't realize how good this tree is. This tree is amazing. God is amazing. He is a wonderful Father. He is so beautiful. He is just magnificent. And because maybe, just maybe, you have come from over here, you might feel like you've been abandoned and lonely. And you think, this is my life. No, it's not. That is not your life. Because Jesus loves you and he values you. He died on the cross for you to bring you into his family, to his tree. This tree, there is Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's Charlie. That's me. There's the Father. There's the Son. There's the Holy Spirit. And then there's you. Put your name in there. You. And access to this family tree is amazing. You have access to the living God. You are able to come to your Heavenly Father and you are able to ask him for things. Where maybe over here you were denied many things. Your dad might have, can't help you. Dad, but, Dad, I'm really stuck. And he's got the resources. He's got it. He just doesn't want to give it to you. But over here, your Heavenly Father, let me tell you, he wants to give you the resources. He wants to bless you. God is a God of blessing. Just things that you might think, no, he wouldn't be interested in that. When I was 19 years of age is when I gave my heart to Jesus and my life just turned around. I received Christ and I was born again by God's Holy Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 3. Can we put that up? I went to church a few times. I had this kind of belief about God. And I did believe that God was real. I did. Seriously, I really did. But Jesus says, you must be born again. But Charlie, I'm a Catholic. I've been going to the Catholic Church. Well, that's great. So am I, actually. I'm half Catholic too. Charlie, I've been part of the Baptist Church for the last 18 years. That's really, really good. But are you born again? But Charlie, I grew up in the C3 movement, the C3 churches. That's great. But are you born again? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Have you connected to the living God? Jesus says you must be born again. You must. There's no other way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door. There's no other door. It's only through Jesus that we have reconciliation with God. It's only through Jesus that we can be redeemed. There is nobody else. There's no other door. There's no other entry point. But it's through Jesus Christ. Either you are born again or you're not. Maybe you're on the road to understanding more. Well, you don't have to understand everything. You just need to be born again. You need to just receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Just submit your heart to him. Surrender to him with your life. We must be born again. It is an amazing tree. It does change everything. It's a tree of blessing that we can come to. Now, for many people, maybe your father or someone in your family has hurt you, and you grew up with resentment and with hurt. And I know that I did. I grew up with a lot of resentment and a lot of hurt. When I came to Christ, I thought that God, that Father God, was like a big ogre with a stick. That's just how I saw it, because my earthly father was very strict, not very loving, a wonderful provider, amazing provider, never came to any of our school functions, school games, sporting activities, nothing at all. He was just a great provider, and I love him dearly. He's still alive today. He's softened a lot in his old age. It's really good to see, actually, very thrilling to see. Why has he softened a lot? I'll tell you why. Because of the change in my life. Because of the blessing of the living God. And I've been able to pass the blessing of God back up this tree to my dad and bless him. But maybe you're struggling with your relationship with God. Because maybe your father was just a tirade. Maybe he was a horrible person. But I want to tell you that you can forgive. That holding on to hurt and pain does you no well. It is not healthy. It will hurt you more than anything in the world. The cross is a powerhouse that sets people free. We are to bless others. The Bible says, God says that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not me. Vengeance is not mine. I can hold bitterness to people or to somebody. But do you know who that's going to hurt? We think that holding on to unforgiveness, that we have power over that. But do you know what? You're actually in captive yourself. You're living in some history, in some past hurt and pain. And Jesus calls us to let go. All the wrongs that maybe have occurred to you that have happened, let justice, let God deal with that. You just forgive and let go. It doesn't mean you're letting him off the hook or letting them off the hook, whoever they may be. It just means that you're giving him to Jesus. And as you forgive them, that sets you free. That sets you free. Unforgiveness will keep you trapped in the past. We want to embrace the new family tree. This is what we want. This is what we seek after. This is what we live for, is the new family tree. The living God. We have divine power to forgive, to love. We don't despise. We bless our family tree. We can alter things with our lives. You can alter things with your lives. You can alter things with your living God. Lady from South Africa, continue to do what you're doing, but continue to pray and talk to God about what you want. Ask him to open the doors. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And the door will open. Be persistent. Just continue to be persistent. You will get it. You'll get it. But be persistent. Don't give up. There are little things that God wants us to have. But we think, oh no, it's just... So I used to run this youth group. I was assisting running this youth group. And I had a car. And I got rid of it. And I wanted a van, so that I could use it to pick up the young kids and to take them home. This is many, many years ago. So I began to pray. I thought, oh, I want a nice van. I want a bit of a funky van, you know. And it was a, I'll tell you what it was. No, it wasn't a panel van. That was a bit before my time. Although I have been in, my brothers had one. So anyway, so I began to pray. I said, Lord, I want a van. I want to be able to bless the community. Help me out, Lord Jesus. I found this van. It was a Toyota Lydase van. Oh, gee, it was an old one. Well over 30. This is over 30 years ago. Had chromies. It was amazing. It was a ripper of a van. It was so cool to have this van. It was really amazing to have this van. And we would just load up kids in the back of this van. We had no seat. There was no seats. We just would pile them up. Come on. Yeah, no worries. Let's do it. Back then, this is what we were like. I remember when we moved to Albany, my wife and I, my wife ran the children's ministry, and she ran that and with the youth ministry together. We had, by that time, we had another van, right? And we had 16 young people in the back of our van. We drove all the way up from Albany to Green Range to this farming property to catch rabbits with our youth. Then there was other cars that followed us up, but 16 young people. So why am I telling you this story about the car? Because God wants you to ask. It might be just little things. When I was 20 years of age, I bought my first home. I had money in the bank because I'd worked during my school years and after school and, you know, all that stuff. Going out as well and partying, doing all that. And I had this money. I said, Lord, I want to invest this money. I want to buy something. I want to buy a home. Lord, help me out. So I began to pray. I just said, Lord, I just want to invest. I want to buy a house. Blah, 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 blah. And I kept on asking. One day, I'm driving my mother to work. So we're driving to work, and I decided to take this detour. I went down Karkula Street. And I saw this house on the left-hand side, and it was for sale. And it kind of just lit up like a Christmas tree. So we drove on, and I thought, wow, gee, that's all right. Anyway, and I kind of said this prayer. I said, Lord, if you want me to get interested in this house, do something. If you want me to inquire, just stir it up in me. So all the way home after dropping my mum, it was just on my mind. So I drove past, got the phone number, rang them, went there, blah, 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 and I bought it. And I thought, I'll buy it and I'm going to rent it out. But then I felt the Lord say, no, you move in there. So I moved in there and I lived there. And I had people, young people from church, young adults. Charlie, can I come and move in with you? Yeah, sure. Then another one. So I'm renting these rooms out and I'm making heaps of money. I'm getting really blessed. This was amazing. I think I paid about $30,000 for this house. But you know what the real good thing was the house was on a triplex property. Big, massive land. Years later, when I got married and we sold it, we made triple the amount of money. Why am I telling you this? It's because if you got something in here, you want a home for yourself or for your family, don't be shy. Don't go thinking God doesn't want to bless you. He does want to bless you. But you need to go to Him and ask. You need to seek, you need to knock, and the door will be opened. Don't be afraid of God. He is amazing. God is amazing. He is not standing there with a piece of stick in his hand. Go, don't stop asking me things. Get back. No. He's there with his arms wide open. Come on, come. Come. Even if you're tired and you're weary, he's like, come on, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. He says to you, what are you worried about? Come to me. Cast all your cares upon me because I really care about you. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. He cares about you. He cares about those little things. Just during the week, I'd said something to my wife about something we needed an outcome for. And only that morning I'd prayed, I'd asked the Lord about it. I said to my wife, oh, what's happening with? She goes, oh, actually,
I said, oh, praise God. I was only just praying about that this morning. I don't want to share that because it's still quite close, you know. Give me another 6 months. But God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to look after you in many, many ways. You might be exhausted. I got home the other night and I was exhausted. Had a full-on day. Had a full-on last 6 weeks, actually, and more. And I got home and I just, oh, Lord, I lifted up my hands. I began to think about King David, how he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I just started to encourage myself in God. Thank you, Lord. Although I feel weak, Lord, I mean, not that David said this prayer. This is out of the book of Micah. Lord, although I feel weak, Lord, I am strong in you. Thank you, Lord, I am your child. Thank you, Lord, you want to bless me. You want to lift me up. I just began to proclaim positive things. The promises of God. Lord, you never leave me nor forsake me. Was anyone over here that left you and forsook you? Did anybody leave you? Did anyone of your family abandon you? Like my friend? Have you ever been abandoned? You know, they moved to Australia. So from South Africa, he came and he moved here to Australia. And his mother and father, just their marriage didn't work out. He was actually not very nice. So she left him. She left the husband. And the husband would not let the son go with the mother out of spite back then. This guy is now probably close to late 50s. She said to her son, she says, Tony, I will come back for you. 10-year-old boy. He waited. No mother. 12, 13, 14, 15, no mother. I thought she's coming back for me. What's going on? She never came back for him. They reunited many, many years later, close to when he was 30. But he said, Charlie, there was too much water under the bridge. She felt ashamed. She felt really bad. And he was so hurt and distraught. She ended up dying of a broken heart. They didn't have much to do together after that. Maybe you've been abandoned, but let me tell you that Jesus, he will never, ever, ever, ever abandon you. I'm telling you, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He loves you. He loves you dearly. He loves you big time. He loves you. You are so important to him. So important. You are so valued that he stands and he waits for you. Actually, like Barry coming down today to you ladies, he actually comes to you and he waits with his hand stretched out, with his heart open, for you just to begin a personal relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. He loves us so much. Would the music team like to come up? Can we have a look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18, please? And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, unrolling it. He found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that have been bruised. Maybe today there's things that have gone on in your world and you're bruised, you're hurt. Maybe there's areas of just unforgiveness. Let me tell you that the grace of God is here to assist you, to comfort you, but to give you faith also in grace to forgive and to let go. It's here. It's here. He loves you. Maybe there's just some thought patterns in your mind that you just can't break. Can I tell you something? What runs in you with your thinking will run in your children. Don't let it. Deal with it. True. What runs in you will run in your children and the grandchildren. We have an opportunity as believers to come to Calvary's tree and say, I'm making a stand. Doesn't matter what my culture says. It's what Jesus says. It's the word of God that is truth. And it's the word of God that will set me free. You know, we have like our Australian culture with, you know, men love to pull each other down, speak disrespectfully. You know, come on. We don't need to do that, do we? You know, a friend of mine, I met a friend who came from another country. I got him a job in this very large workplace. And he came to me after 4 days and said, Charlie, they speak to me, this is what they say to me. I can't handle this. I said, Joy, I know it's not right, it's not good. Don't take that personally. That is just, it's an Australian thing. But it hurts people. It hurts. We don't want to come under that, do we? We don't want to come under that kind of talk. We want to be encouraging people. We want to be loving people. We want to lift people up. Men, come on, let's speak really well of each other. Let's speak well of each other. Let's be honoring. Let's be respectful. And let's be who Jesus has called us to be. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all yours. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. That you must come to God with confidence. Believe that He's a rewarder of those of you that will come and seek Him. He will reward you. He will bless you as you seek Him. As you seek His truth. As you want more of Him, He will reveal Himself to you. It takes that step. Maybe today you don't know Jesus. Well, let me tell you, take that step today. When you find Jesus, you will find life. You will find abundant life. You will find a blessed life. A blessed life. How much does God love you? How much does He love me? I'm just going to tell you this one last story. A young man in his young adult years. His father was very wealthy. He says, Dad, you know, I'm 24. I've done really well. I reckon I can do this on my own. Dad, will you bless me and give me my inheritance? But son, if I give you your inheritance now, there's, you know, that's it. No, I'll be fine, Dad. I can do this. So he gets the inheritance. He goes. Starts to party, gets involved in the wrong crowd. Over years and time, he loses just everything. Loses everything. And he thinks, oh no. And he thinks about his family back home. He goes, you know, my parents have got servants that work on the farm, and they're eating better than what I am. But look at me. Here I am. I'm eating garbage out of the back of this restaurant. What? I'm just better off going back home and just be a servant. I'll go back home and I'll just say, Dad, look, I'm really sorry. Dad, forgive me. I really stuffed up. Dad, I'll be happy. Oh, just let me be a servant. Just let me. Dad, I'll clean the carpet. I'll do whatever you want on the farm. I'll do whatever you want in the other businesses. I don't want to be a manager. I'll just be a servant. The father probably heard a little bit about the son, what he was up to, and thought, oh, he'll come home one day. He'll come home. He knows where the fridge is. And so after probably 2 or 3 years, the father starts to, he knows at about 11 o'clock in the morning, the bus comes through and he looks down the road. No, not today. Maybe 2 years later, he's looking down the road again. Not, he's looking every day, consistently. Every day, consistently. Then one day he just sees this head in the horizon and he goes, gee, is that him? Wow, he's got that. He's not walking like he used to. He looks downcast, but gee, that's him. That's my son. So he starts to walk up the road. And as he gets closer, he's so thrilled with joy and peace and love for his son. His son feels so bad. The father says to the son, oh, darling, it's so good you're home. It's so beautiful you're here. Come on, come on. Grabs him, puts his arm around him, walks up the path, calls everybody, says, boys, everyone look, Jack is home. Jack is back home. Tonight we're partying. Kill the lamb, put the pig on the roast. And they partied and partied and partied. That's a picture of God's love for you and me. Whatever you've done, wherever you've been, He's here embracing you, loves you immensely, deeply. You are His. Can we just stand, please? Thank you. If you would like some prayer, it's going to ask you to come out. I want to pray for you. God's Holy Spirit is here to touch you, to bring wholeness, to bring healing. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive. Maybe there's some things you just need to let go. Maybe you have not experienced the Father's love. Just come. Let me pray God's blessing upon your life. Just come on out. I'm going to hand this over to Pastor Barry. Please just come. Thank you. Thank you.